Your journey begins. The spiritual guide on 95BFM, thanks to Glengarry Wines.
Yeah, it is. Welcome along, everybody. Get ready to get schooled on tequila. Is that the right way to say it, Tonch?
Tequila? Yeah, I suppose so.
Sweet. I wondered if there was some kind
Cheers for having me, guys.
Actually, I've just had a brainstorm. Why don't we pull up the 18-minute version of tequila?
Is there one?
Yes, there is. There's an 18-minute version of tequila.
Okay.
Is that going to be your backing?
Talk amongst yourselves.
It's perfect. I mean, I guess...
Is it called 18-minute tequila?
Yes, just Google. Just Google it, mate. Just Google it.
Keep going.
Not sure if they're going.
Hey, welcome to the BFM Studios, Tonchi, from Glengarry, of course. It's been a little while since we've seen you. You were down doing a tasting somewhere in the South Island last time.
It was indeed. So, yeah, sorry, I missed you guys last month. I was down in Christchurch doing a series of wine tastings, both on the Saturday and Sunday, so I flew down Friday to get ready for it.
Mm.
Like we're saying, we're going to do tequilas today. So we're going to start off with a couple blind tequilas to start. Reason being, I want to run us through... first, there's two main categories for tequila.
Aren't they all blind tequilas in the end a little bit?
They can be. It gets misty. So there's two main types of tequila. So you pretty much start off with tequila is a fermented beverage that's then distilled, much like whiskey or brandy like we've discussed in the past.
Fermented from what?
And this time it's made from agave. So agave is a succulent. It's kind of similar to like a pineapple in a way. And okay. So it's a big spiny bulb. They call it a pina in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys called hemidors, they have essentially like large sharp knives on the end of a stick, and they cut all the blades off, get the bulb, and then that is cooked, crushed, and then the juice is fermented into a essentially like a agave beer.
Mm.
And distilled. From there, there's two types of tequila. So there's 100% the agave, which is, it's made 100% from just agave for the sugar source, and then there's mixto. Mixto is 51% agave, and then the remaining 49 is pretty much just sugar cane or sugar beet. And the majority of tequila that people probably know and have tequila kind of memories about is mixto tequila. So hence why we've got this this blind tasting we're going to start with. So if you guys want to pick up both your glasses, and I'll sort of run us through it quite quickly, but if you just have a nose of both.
Okay. Nosing the left now.
The darker one has got a way gruntier.
The darker one just had me remembering heaps of mistakes I've made. The darker one is like, am I supposed to name what it is?
I'm not going to try to get you down that, rabbit hole. But I mean, I think you guys have nailed it on the head. Essentially, the first one is Jose Cuervo.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And that's, the old Especial Gold.
Classic. Yeah. And this is just the blonde one?
So this one here is El Jimador, which is actually 100% agave. So the one on your left was mixto.
Man, I can sniff this all day, the agave.
And, for me, it's got like a hint of like nail polish remover to it.
Wow. It gives me the quiver.
Which is...
starting
with a clean palate, I'm going to go for the
to be honest, if you're going to drink either of them, just start with just your right and stick to just your right.
Yeah, I reckon as well, because we know the story on the left one.
You can have that.
It's amazing how
our friend in the studio, he can have my Jose Cuervo.
It's amazing how kind of whiskey-esque the agave one is.
Yeah, like, so I mean
the notes I'm getting on my nose and that.
Essentially, through the process, it's double distilled for a pot still, so it's made in a very similar way to how whiskey is.
Mm.
But instead of being made from barley or other types of grain, it's made from agave. So agave gives it this.
Actually, tastes healthy. Is that? It tastes healthy, eh?
But the agave gives it this real earthy kind of grassy kind of note.
Yeah.
The one we're having now is a reposado, which is Spanish for rested. So essentially, Mexico is the hottest place in the world where they make an aged spirit. So yes. In the past, I've spoken about, I think we did some rum Caribbean aging, where they get a much faster maturation than they do in Scotland or other areas, because
you're not digging it, John. I'm finding this. I'm almost finding this refreshing. Like it's cleaning up my face.
I shouldn't say. I've just had both.
Jesus Christ, John! I gotta go.
They're both clean.
The show's gone downhill already.
Obviously the first one, fantastic. Is there a bottle for the first one that I can look at?
Hold on 1 second. I'll grab them both for you.
Yeah. I just thought, I mean, I've got both in my hand. I may as well compare compare them both. Okay. Oh, yep. Here we go. Jose Cuervo.
Yeah, that classic. Has it got, have these got worms on the bottom? What's the story of the worm, Tonch? Give me the thing on the worm. Is it necessary to have a worm at the bottom? Poor worm kind of thing?
You'd never find a worm in a tequila. You'd find worm in a mezcal.
Is it?
So a mezcal, essentially, put simply,
nice one, hungry. Nice
all tequila is a mezcal. Not all mezcal can be called tequila. Tequila has to be made from one type of agave. Mezcal can be made from any. There's a 50 to 100 varieties that they use in mezcal.
Right.
There's a few differences as well. Normally, mezcal is really small family producers, and they have more old-fashioned production processes. So the way that, as I said before, they cut and then cook the agave peanut.
Right.
That's done in like old-fashioned earthen ovens. So you get this real smokiness that comes through because it's been wood smoked.
Right on.
Whereas with tequila, in most cases, it's made by one of the larger distilleries that are over there, and they have big steam, like pressure cookers.
Right.
So
that El Jimador, which is absolutely fantastic, actually has a embossed in the glass. There is a picture of an old mate with the big long stick,
yes,
de-husking the agave or whatever.
Yeah. So
John? Did you catch that?
That's actually a Jimador. So right. The Jimador is the guys who hand harvest the agave. Agave can't be machine harvest. It's
too big,
and it's really tough, and it needs a really, really sharp blade and quite precise.
That's kind of cool, eh?
But and it's a really sought after job. Obviously, Mexico is not the best for the job market,
yeah.
But over there, it's very protected. It's family protected. So quite often, new starting Jimador,
you're going to ruin your thing that you're trying to get.
Well, to be honest, if you fuck it up, you could lose a foot. That's how sharp the blade is.
Okie dokie. So,
yeah, but normally it's not rare for a new Jimador to be getting trained by not only his father but his grandfather. Like,
right.
That's how, like, sort of traditional that job's become over there.
Right.
That's awesome. I love that sort of generational thing, and people get such an appreciation and an understanding of the craft, and they become masters of it. That's when you get this sort of quality of stuff, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And it's sort of, I suppose, harking back to more hands-on production processes. It has to be hand harvested. Yeah. When you look at wine,
but tequila has a real traditional vibe about it, you know, like. Generally, I mean, I know it's probably mass produced, like
as long as it's not the Cuervo,
yeah, exactly,
or the similars,
exactly.
I mean, essentially, the Mixto came through, and I think it was the mid 1900s as a way to be able to get past a shortage of agave. So they made
always
a more
out of necessity, these things
out of necessity,
eh?
Yeah.
So cool.
But it's obviously a lot cheaper to be able to just add sugar to a liquid than to have to get more agave, because you've got this. Even under a pressure cooker situation, they're cooking the agave for 32 hours. So it's been hand harvested by guys and then taken out to the field and then cooked for 32 hours.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
before
yeah.
they start grinding it down to get the juice out of it. So it's quite a labor intensive process to get to the point where you've got a liquid to ferment.
And we thank them.
Yeah, very much so.
And we thank them.
Good old Jose.
Can we just have a little?
You're gonna have more.
John's going back. You're making some real fucking inverted faces, like pure lemon was squeezed into your being.
No,
and now you've gone straight backwards.
Jose Cuervo. Good try, Mr. Mac.
Is this a good one?
That was
this
a heavy
is a good
pour,
one.
John. You need to relax, man.
Yeah,
someone
I'm
take
sorry.
The bottle off John, real quick.
Sorry, yeah. Thank you. When you look at those two types of tequilas, I was saying, so you've got the 100% the agave, and then you've got Mixto. Mixto's got two subcategories, one being silver and one being gold. Mm. When you go down the agave, 100% the agave, you go to still silver, could be called white, and then there's three stages in there, Reposado and Añejo. And they're all designations for how long they've spent in their barrel for aging. So I was saying before, it's the hottest place in the world where they age.
On the equator.
Pretty much bang on. Mm-hmm. And so you're looking at, instead of getting 1 to 2% evaporation in a barrel per year, you're looking at 10 to 11%. So if you left a barrel for 10 years, the barrel would be dry. Like it would be not even like slightly moist.
You might have some
dry.
Kind of tequila candy.
Yeah. So you get a very, very fast maturation. So in terms of their one, you go, if it's aged for less than 60 days, so 2 months, it's a Blanco. Which we're about to try shortly, is a Plata from Herradura, which
very
is just Spanish for silver.
Yeah.
But if you have a look at it in the bottle first before you pour it, it's actually got this smelling straight away.
You can't
it's got this sort of greeny kind of silvery tinge to it. Because it has spent time in barrel. So we're now moving up into like the legit shit.
Right.
So we're getting the good
stuff. They take the product and they're like, oh, how do I make this a little bit more gnarly? I time age it in a weird situation.
Yeah, so this one here's, I was saying it's 45 days, but a maximum of 60 days before it can't be called a plata anymore. And it becomes a reposado. A reposado, which we had in our humidor, is 2 months through to a year in barrel.
Just on the El Jimador, what's the damage on that? Like
that's
price?
$39.99.
Oh, fuck, that's so good. That is the winner over the old
it's
man.
It's normally
Cueva.
About the same price as that.
Yeah, I know. So look, if you're reaching for a Dos Cueva, go ahead and treat yourself to a El Jimador. Or how do you say that properly?
They don't pronounce the J, right? So it's El Jimador.
Yeah. That was fantastic.
But definitely, I mean, quality for prices.
Yeah.
Smashes it.
Funny, eh? A little bit of knowledge, and that's probably, hopefully you're tuned in for
and
that.
That's why
listener.
I gave it to you guys blind, so you could actually see that difference.
You could smell it before you taste it.
Oh, exactly. And then you go through from, so as I was saying, you've got that 60 days or 2 months, and you've got 2 months through to a year for a reposado, which is Spanish for rested. Mm-hmm. And then from there you go to añejo, which is aged, and that's anywhere from 1 year to 3 years. And at that stage, it's as mature as probably a 12 to 15 year old single malt, so it's done that in 2 years
because of the temperature,
just because of how hot it is. Yeah. So we'll move on to this plata if you guys are ready.
It's awesome. Is Mexico the numero uno tequila producer?
They're the only place that can. So there's only five states in Mexico
is that, like
that
a champagne
can produce
kind of brag? Where
very
it has
much
to
so.
Be.
Yeah, it's protected legally. Most of it come. It started off. The name tequila is actually the name of a town. Mm. And there was a guy who made a mezcal. Mm. And he called it his tequila, so the mezcal tequila, which was the mezcal of the town tequila, and then that took off as being sort of one of the best quality mezcals at the time, and then ended up getting its own name, and they created a whole sort of categorization around it. But there's only five states in Mexico where you can produce. So you can't produce it just anywhere in Mexico. It has to be
willy-nilly, cruising around producing.
And it has to be produced only from Blue Weber Agave, so it's one particular variety.
Okay, John, so... All right. Don't think you're going to go here and make tequila tomorrow.
I can't
right?
just move up to Northland and make tequila.
No,
but
you can. You just can't call it tequila.
You'd have to grow. You'd have to start 9 years from now because it takes 9 years for an agave plant to hit maturation.
No time. Back to
maturity. So.
Okay, what happens here? I'm having a. What is this called again? We're moving up in the realm now. It's got a funk to it though.
So this one here is the Herradura or Herradura. Plata, which is Spanish for silver. This is actually the house that makes El Jimador, so they release El Jimador as their kind of like everyday drinking tequila, and this is the sort of the bee's knees
special all occasion
right. That El Jimador is actually the number one selling 100% de agave tequila in Mexico, so the Mexicans are nuts about this one.
Right, okay. So that is it's good.
Yeah, so we've stepped up in quality now. We've essentially it's the same producers, and they're using very much the same process and techniques, but they're just doing it slower and with more detail. So things like the cook time for the agave gets more, like in terms of like they push it out from say 24 to 32 hours out to 48.
This Herradura is there's a lot more going on, but still extremely drinkable. Still like a world's like not tequila like you think.
What should I be looking out for? Well, enjoying this.
For me, agave gives this real earthiness. I also get like sort of a green kind of brassy kind of note comes through.
Brassy? I kind of got that from the run-of-the-mill one.
It reminds me of jalapenos.
Right on.
Or like the brininess of a jalapeno. You know, like you get like a little bit of pickle that comes with
it. Good.
It's very. It's
we're not shotting this, by the way, listeners. We're like discerningly sipping on this. We're doing a little talk about it.
It's incredibly smooth.
It is
like there's actually not a lot of heat in this one. The first one in particular, that one is like, oh my god, my throat. But
the first one's like, did you get like a little bit of like petroleum?
Hey, you sell it, not me.
Are you talking about the Dos Cueva? We stopped talking about that.
And then you see,
I think we're here to kind of divorce the idea of that. We can like move on now. Like,
you can try that one.
I don't put it in the seas. It's not oily.
I tell you what, though, that's the one you want to have with like a lemon and salt, though, because you need those things to make it mint.
It's the one your friend came over with, a lemon and a salt. You're like, no, I'm not ready for this.
What's the story behind the lemon and the salt? Do you know the story on that, Tosh? Is it just to make it drinkable? Kind of thing.
Yeah, to be honest, it's probably just to take the flavour away when you're
100%, right?
I was like,
I really?
Yeah. The old lipstick suck.
Put some
brigade. Yeah, that wouldn't. To be honest, in Mexico, the way they drink it is in a what would be essentially like a shot glass, but like double high, and right. It's just poured in. They sip at it. So like much like we're doing now, but they sip at it, and then the next
John's
way
kind of caning it back.
They have, I think it's called a sangarita, which is like a spicy tomato juice.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's like tomato juice with a little bit of lime juice and then a little bit of like chili in it.
Yeah.
And you'd sip one after the other.
Oh, sorry, I want to say sangria, but that's
sangria
not
is a wine.
Yeah.
Which both kind of come from the same because it's there's Spanish speaking in Mexico, so sangria is like blood.
Yes.
In Spanish, which is and it's a red wine.
Right.
Cocktail made with essentially red wine and fresh fruit, and then you've got sangarita, which is like the sort of the Mexican Spanish word for blood, which is like saying tomato juice and lime juice and a little bit of chili.
Interesting to note this, we're still sitting around 40%, which seems to be the happy place for most alcohols, right?
Yeah, like, I mean most spirits it's normally 40% is like the minimum ABV that they can have to be called that type of spirit. There are some that are allowed to be lower. And there's also some that New Zealand has allowed them to be called lower than what they are internationally. Things like vodka and bourbon.
Is that annoying for you guys in the industry?
Most of the reasons, I mean, it's kind of funny. They allow us to get away with it, but it's the tax gets more expensive the higher the ABV. So if you go from 37 to 40% alcohol, the bottle price on the shelf is going to be higher just because of the alcohol percentage.
Mm.
But then they change the law to allow us to bring in 37% bourbon, which makes the tax lower. There's a little bit backwards. What's that?
Bonrico.
Yeah. What's that? Possibly.
Hey, you're not on a microphone.
Where are we sitting with this one, like price wise on the shelf?
That one there's about $90. So we've stepped up quite a bit. So we've gone from those sort of both that are around $40 to double down really.
This segment is kind of like a pay rise for John and I. Every time we do it.
Like, please come more often.
Yeah. Sweet mix. Apparently the salt's to keep the flies away.
Mm.
And the lemon's to attract the flies. Thanks, Dexter.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He could. I mean, they could be right. I mean, I don't know. Flies don't like salt. Bugs don't either. Nah.
Okay.
It's kind of like a sterile
thing.
Bring the salt. But
okay, now you've got another bottle of tequila on the deck, and it's quite a lot darker than everything else.
Yeah, so this one has
same company though.
Yeah, so same producer. This is their añejo, so it's the Herradura añejo, which has been aged in cask for 2 years. So
what kind of barrel?
Normally it's American white oak and it's ex bourbon quite often. These guys in particular, so the El Jimador and the two Herraduras are owned by Brown-Forman, who own Jack Daniel's.
Oh,
so a lot of the barrels come from either Jack Daniel's or their stable of other bourbons that they produce. So they make all their own barrels, so they just
keep them in the family.
Yeah.
I guess as well, you've got sort of that it's all in the chain, and you know where it's been, you know where it's at, you know what sort of life it's had. So
yeah, I mean the Jack Daniel's barrels are probably the most sought after barrels from America, because everyone else essentially buys their barrels from one cooperage, whereas Jack Daniel's own their own cooperage, so they control the where the timber's being fouled, how it's being stored beforehand, so getting it seasoning before it gets cut into staves, and then they actually control everything through the process of making a barrel, which is involves not just building a barrel in terms of cutting it into staves and then getting it all into place, which is really hard. It's like a puzzle. You've got to give it a go. It's really difficult. But then they toast and char them. So toasting is essentially they give it like they put it in an oven and heat it up, and it caramelizes the sugar, the wood sugars.
Yeah.
And then afterwards they run it along a conveyor belt and they just put like a blowtorch up the middle of it and it chars it. And there's different
as you do.
And there's different levels of charring. So they go from like char one all the way through to what they call alligator, which is just like heavily charred that it's got like scaly char marks on the inside of it. And so, yeah, Jack Daniel's get to control that entire process from start to finish. They've got their own sort of quality control over it, which is fantastic. And it comes through in the quality that we're getting here.
Right.
As I was saying, it can be anywhere from a year to 3 years old, but this is 2 years old, so it's bang in the middle of what it's allowed to be, but it's probably a lot older than some of the other añejos on the market.
Okay.
But pour myself one first.
Yeah, pick cool.
And then I'll pour you guys. Sorry, mate.
Where are we sitting price-wise with this
This one comes up to 109 a bottle, so
we're getting to special categories now.
Yeah.
Tonchi, Glengarry, thank you very much for bringing in
Are you doing a cheers now? Are you cheersing right now?
Yes, I've had a couple of tequilas, hey. So just just saying thank you for bringing in stuff which is top shelf.
That's because I want to drink it too, to be honest.
It's definitely getting more busy.
As you're probably seeing, like, we went through from the first one, which was showing a hint of a little bit of oakiness coming through, maybe a little bit of vanilla, but really it was more about the agave. You got the taste of what a tequila tastes like, really. Now we've gone full spectrum to some age, so yeah. We're now starting to see the mellowing
of
the spirit.
What does with other things.
Yeah, yeah. It's the oak starting to come through a bit more, and that vegetative kind of green grassiness has dropped out.
It's a lot rounder.
Yeah, definitely.
It's good. Nothing better than describing alcohols. You get to chuck out all these tweaked out bits.
Anyone else that's listening has to believe you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, no.
Or go buy their own shopping.
Is there a particular Glengarry which is the tequila specialist store?
Good question, actually.
I wouldn't say there's one that's a tequila specialist, but our Victoria Park store has... There you go, Matt. Take the bottle. has probably the largest range, but then our Kingsland store, so just up on New North Road, has just had a massive refit, and it's just got a huge range of spirits now. So they've got fantastic range. They've got the full Herradura range, which goes up to they haven't got the Selection Suprema, but that's Matt Gaddy. But they've got up to the Ultra and Yeho, which is this next one up from this. And then they've got things like Don Julio, Espolon, they've got the 1800s.
Is there ever a shortage because the agave is hard to get, you know, with like growing them and all?
Pretty well farmed now. Hopefully it shouldn't become an issue. There is some pressure on it. Herradura is quite lucky that they're in a position of owning like 70% of the farms that they actually get their agave from. Mm. So they've got a
supply.
And so they've got their own kind of rotational program going, so they can kind of manage that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there has been some pressure. I think it's got more expensive because of it, but it hasn't become a shortage.
Tequila's
not a huge spirit in the large scheme of things. Like, if you know, you look at the world and you go,
it's not vodka, like a sifting drink. Eh? Then, it's not so much. Well, these whiskey. Are definitely. But
yeah, I mean, that's the best thing is, to be honest, like that. Jose Cuervo used to be...
You keep bringing it up. Get that bottle out of my face. I've moved on from Jose Cuervo. I'm never going back.
That's the volume play, but it's the interesting stuff that people are getting, and it's getting people away from that.
Yeah, I'm converted, man.
And
I'm
up to the next stage up, and even, you know, as you saw, our Jimador, which at the same price point, quality level jumps is what will make, hopefully... people start jumping on the tequila bandwagon because when you get to this level, it's awesome.
I've had some friends come back from the Northern Hemisphere, and it's where they're at. You know, they're into tequila far more than I'd ever come across, and I you know, can see why. You know, they're converted. Do you think that sort of thing will be on the horizon for the rest of the New Zealand public? Do you reckon we can make the jump to tequila?
Hopefully, one day.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean... you kind of see the trends coming through in the markets. I don't think tequila is going to be the one that's the next big thing. At the moment, we're seeing Irish whiskey is huge, led by Jameson's, but also the other brands that, like, we're getting a new distillery that's releasing their whiskey pretty much every day at the moment. That's like the huge one at the moment. Tequila looked like it was going to be that like 2-3 years ago, and then Irish whiskey like kind of
interesting
leapfrogged it. But yeah, hopefully one day. Okay. I mean, it's better than having a shot with salt and lime, or having just a dirty old margarita. You know, there's a lot more to tequila than that.
Is it true that tequila is the only one that gives you like the up buzz? Is that true?
I don't know.
People talk about this.
One of those myths. I mean, I'm not sure I sort of subscribe to all of it, but then I have been known to enjoy a tequila.
Yeah.
I have nicknames for it.
Yeah. Text into 5395 if you've seen Tonch going absolutely mental after a few tequilas. Just let us know exactly what the story is. He's not telling us.
Yeah. My wife will kill me.
She's probably the one texting in.
Yeah, she probably will be the one to text in.
All right. Thank you very much, Glengarry.
Cheers, thank you.
Thank you, Tonchi. Head along to Glengarry and grab some tequila, why don't you?
We'll podcast this if you do want to have a listen and catch up to how you can move on from your Jos Cuervo situations. Cheers, Tom.
Sweet.
carry on your way. That was The Spiritual Guide on 95 BFM, thanks to Glengarry Wines.